a new year before us. You know, some people are really freaked out about 2012. They believe that the world is going to end this year. Why is that? Well, the theory goes, the ancient Mayan civilization, remember down there in South America, they created a calendar that ends on December 21st, 2012. Presumably, after that date, there's no more time for the human race. It's where it all ends. And if you haven't noticed, you've probably not been watching much of the stuff that's going on in the internet because it's all over the place, TV documentaries, even movies. It's wild, it's crazy, all this hype about 2012. But I came across something recently that may have solved the puzzle for us. Maybe it's just as simple as this. The Mayan calendar maker comes in to show the chief his latest calendar, and he says, I only had room to go up to 2012, and the chief says, ha, that's gonna freak somebody out someday. So maybe that's all there is to it. Well, I don't believe the Mayan calendar has any insight into when the world will end. But the Bible does predict that Christ will return in power and in great glory to judge the living and the dead and to set up his kingdom on earth. And that could happen in our generation. And so silly as I think the whole Mayan thing is, there's one aspect that we should take very seriously. This year, 2012, we should live as though it could be our last. Amen? Now, this is not to say that we should be gloomy or live in some sort of panicky fear or fail to plan ahead. No. But we should always live as though every day is important. Living every day as though it could be our last, and therefore living our very best for the Lord. Think about it. What if somehow you knew authoritatively, I mean for real, that 2012 was going to be your last year? How would you plan it? What would you do? I've heard people say, man, I would live it up if I knew I was going to die soon. I'd spend all my money. I'd eat anything I wanted, as much as I want. Anytime I want, I'd blow all my money. I'd go to Vegas and I'd be drunk as a skunk and I would just wring the last drop of enjoyment out of every moment. You ever heard people say things like that? I know I have. But that's the thinking of someone who doesn't have God on the radar screen of his or her life. If you're a Christ follower, you would see things much differently. You would want with all your heart to do the things that are most important, to make good preparations, and of course to be with the people that are most important to you, and most of all to love and to serve Jesus Christ, because he is the most important person in your life. Today's message is called Talk from the Heart. It's a message from the pastoral staff and from me to you about our ministries and our passion to serve in this coming year. And our text, sort of the passage that sums up the gist of what's going on in this message, is from Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Please help me out when we come to the yellow print and read out loud with me. Paul says, "And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him, to God the Father." Whatever it is you're doing, it should be as a representative of the Lord Jesus. Each week, the pastoral staff works with me in running the day-to-day operations of the church. They're a great bunch of people. If you know them, you know that. They are people who love God, they love people, and they are devoted to the vision and the mission of Stony Creek Church, which, if you've been around here for long, you should know the mission of Stony Creek Church is to make more and better followers of Jesus. Not just more, not just better, but more and better followers of Jesus. In other words, we're trying to reach lost people with the gospel message that Jesus died for them and rose from the dead, and through faith in him, they can be saved from everlasting destruction in hell. And then once we've won a person to Christ, a lost person, then the next job is to make them a better follower. And that is through growing them and discipling them and helping them to learn to love Christ and love people. So that's what we're all about here at Stony Creek. And you're going to meet each of our staff people, and they're going to come up here and talk about their ministries from the heart, really. We're stressing that this year, that it's not just some sort of a report or telling you what they're going to do, but what really matters to them about this ministry, because they believe it with all their heart that it matters to God. Chris Bordeaux, or I should say first, will be Andy Barba. He's our small groups director. And Andy is going to be coming to us, not live, but we're going to see him via satellite. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to see a video clip of him. Because Andy is a little hungover this morning. No, not true. Just kidding. Yeah, don't tell him I said that. No. Not true at all, ever. All right? No, he and his family are on a little holiday vacation for New Year's, and so he did this in advance. So he's our small groups director, Andy Barba, and he'll be first. He will be followed by Chris Bordeaux, who is our associate pastor over two areas, a youth and programming. And then we'll hear from Corey McCluskey, who is over our children's ministry, which we call Cross Trainers. And he will speak to us. And then last but not least is Mary Marang, our office manager. She was up here earlier doing the announcements. She is over several different ministries here at Stony. And as each person shares his or her heart, please listen with Colossians 3:17 in mind, thinking about how you can serve Jesus Christ here at Stony Creek Church. Now, Mary mentioned a few moments ago about the membership class, the Exploring Stony Creek membership class. Maybe that's something that you'll want to consider if you're not already a member, is joining up and becoming officially part of the team here. How can you serve Christ here in 2012? Maybe it will be by joining one of the ministries you'll be hearing about today, wholeheartedly, as though it was your last year. All right, so we'll start off with Andy, our small groups director.
Well, good morning. My name is Andy Barman. I'm the Small Groups Director here at Stony Creek Church. Well, I'm away this weekend, but wanted to take this opportunity to address you today concerning our small groups ministry. Our purpose is simple: to provide our members and attenders an intimate setting where they can grow and pursue their mission to make more and better followers of Jesus Christ. It's in our small groups where we really get to know each other as family, to build each other up, to encourage one another, and to pray for one another. It's also a great place where we can receive support during difficult times. The death of loved ones, marriage issues, work stress, you name it. And I know many that have benefited in our small groups receiving that support, and I desire that each and every one of you would enjoy that support as well. Well, last fall we launched into our series on the family, where we're learning what God has to say about the family's design and purpose. We're going to continue that through the spring, and then later on this year, we'll be considering ideas on how we can expand our reach into our neighborhoods in keeping with God's purpose for us to make more followers of Jesus Christ. Well, to get connected, visit our website at www.stonycreekchurch.org or pick up a small group list from the literature table in the back of the auditorium. There you'll find 14 small groups meeting at various days of the week. So I'm sure there's a small group out there for you. If you have any questions, feel free to talk with me on Sundays or during the week via email or phone. I'd love to help you in any way that I can. Well, thank you so much. God bless, and have a happy new year.
All right. We could hear it for Andy, but he wouldn't be benefited by it, so let's not clap for Andy right now. I'm a little disappointed to hear the news anyway.
From Randy.
All right. Let me underscore that that was a joke. All right. Very good. All right. Well, good morning. Good to see you. I'd like to talk very briefly about the programming and youth ministry. Actually, I'd like to talk at length, but I'm allowed briefly. The programming ministry puts on any public service, any of our public services, chiefly, of course, our Sunday services. And so I just want to share with you my heart a little bit about what we think about the Sunday services. When I think about the Sunday services, I think first about when Jesus walked on this planet 2,000 years ago. And now his ministry included the very best teaching and leadership that the church would ever see. And we'd be fools not to model ourselves after our Lord, of course. We chase after what he did. And so, what did he do? Well, one of the common things, as it applies anyway to the programming ministry, one of the common things Jesus did was to use all kinds of illustrations and analogies in his teachings. He would pick up kids, pick up a child to talk about how we ought to have the heart of a child when it comes to our faith. He would point at big decorated buildings and talk about things like fishing and agriculture, things that the people of his day in the area where he was teaching knew about. And he did this to teach God's great truths to all kinds of people. And I really believe that if Jesus was here today, if in coming to ancient Israel 2,000 years ago, if instead he was born in America in our generation, using the latest movies, quotes, or news headlines, because that's what we know. That's what you and I know. We don't know about fishing and agriculture. We know about Will Ferrell quotes. You know, that's what we understand. That's our language, sadly. I also, when thinking about setting up the service and putting together a Sunday service, I think about when God designed a place of worship for his people, the tabernacle. Back out in the wilderness, he had Moses' team build a place of worship that was filled with all kinds of articles and activities that would cause people to engage God in worship and in learning about God through all of their senses. Not just sitting and reading, not just hearing somebody read, but you would engage God through sight and sound and smell and taste and touch. You would all of these senses drawn into worship. And So I think that church ought to follow God's example. Services, they're designed to engage all of our senses. Things like communion, of course, that engages everything, the touch, the taste, the smell. We have video clips that hear some of the principles we're talking about are to set those things up. And we do this all to communicate the vital, life-saving, eternal life-saving gospel message of Christ. In this next year, in 2012, I believe that God is leading us to think even further outside the box than ever before, ways to engage people in all their senses, to draw them in through the use of creative illustrations so that we can effectively reach people in new ways with the gospel of Christ, and we can continue in new ways and exciting ways to challenge each other on to grow in our faith. That's what I want to see God doing right here at our Sunday services. Lord willing, we'll do so. As far as the youth goes, I just like to share one of my favorite passages that kind of governs my thoughts towards how I do youth ministry. It's found in Titus chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, I welcome you to open that up. But I'm going to be slicing and dicing it and just looking at a few different areas here in this chapter. So it'll be up on the screen. When I read this, it's a letter to Pastor Titus from his mentor, the Apostle Paul, and I read it, and I take it as a letter directed personally to me, saying these things to me. This is what I ought to do and what our youth ministry here and what our church ought to be doing. And so let me read this to you. It reads like this. As for you, he says Titus, but I think Chris. Promote the kind of living that reflects wholesome teaching. Teach the older men to exercise self-control, to be worthy of respect, and to live wisely. They must have sound faith and be filled with love and patience. Similarly, teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. They should teach others what is good. These women must train the younger women. I believe that a quality youth ministry requires a quality youth staff and quality parents. It really does. The older helping to train the younger, to guide them in the ways of God. And so I thank God that we have that in our youth ministry. We have a great backing from godly parents supporting what we're doing in the youth ministry, and we want to support them in what they're doing in their homes. And we have a great team of youth staff, and I like to work with the younger staff to help them grow into the role that God's calling them to. And since we had four new college leaders step up this year, that's going to be a big part of 2012, is training them, training and building into the leaders so that they will in turn train and build into your kids. Let me go on with the passage. He writes, in the same way, encourage the young men to live wisely, and you yourself must be an example to them by doing good works of every kind. Let everything you do reflect the integrity and the seriousness of your teaching. Teach the truth so that your teaching can't be criticized. Then those who oppose us will be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. When Randy was talking about what would you do if it was your last day, and some people would answer, just go crazy with alcohol and sex and partying and stuff, I feel like if I look around in our culture, a lot of people must think that today's their last day, because that's what they're doing on regular days. Our culture surrounds itself, consumes itself with idle time wasters. Our priorities are fixed on temporary fun fixes rather than serious eternal matters. Now, our youth ministry can be a pretty silly place. If you've ever been to a youth Sunday, you know that. And if you've ever had the misfortune of dropping by during youth group, you've seen it firsthand. We can be a silly place, but when it comes to worshiping God Almighty, when it comes to the teaching of His Word, to growing in our relationship with our Lord and Savior, and telling others about Jesus, we want to work in this youth ministry to raise a generation that takes those things very seriously. We don't joke around about worshiping our God about reaching people with the life-saving message of the gospel and building them up in their faith. And let me close with the last part of this passage here. He writes, "For the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God, while we look forward with hope to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be revealed. He gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, and to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds." If I had to sum that up in a sentence, that last paragraph, it would be the mission statement of our youth ministry. I'll leave you with that, which is just this, and it reflects the mission statement of the whole church: to reach unbelieving students with the gospel message, that news of salvation, and to equip them to live for Christ the rest of their lives. Turn away from godless living and to live with integrity, with seriousness, with wit in this life. And Lord willing, in 2012, we will do so. Thanks.
Good morning.
Happy New Year. I want to hold this in the right place. I usually do it incorrectly. So is that too loud? Okay.
A little closer. Is that better? Everybody can hear me out there?
All right. I'm not really sure what slides we have. Okay. I wanted to have some slides up that would kind of have some things that you could think about while I'm speaking, but you don't have to follow this to understand what I'm saying. But these are just some thoughts that I looked up while I was writing what I'm sharing with you today. I want to share some statistics. I'm a statistic-minded kind of guy, so I want to share some of that with you before we go any further. 80 to 90% of Christ followers make the decision to do so between the ages of 4 to 14. How many of you here have done that between the ages of 4 to 14? Made your decision to be a Christ follower. Now, here's a statistic that I was very surprised by once I looked that up. Here's the other side of that. A 5-year study done by the Barna Research Group found that 59% of those active in the church either leave the church permanently or for an extended period of time sometime after the age of 15. So you got that demographic, 4 to 14, where people come to Christ, but right outside of that, you got 59% leaving the church or leaving it for a long period of time, coming back potentially when they have children of their own. Okay, a lot of people do that. But what is it that's causing that to happen? My belief is that we have allowed as a nation to let the culture get into our church instead of letting the church get into our culture. You see it all around. Lots of things are accepted, and I've got more Barna research to back up what I'm saying. Okay? So hear me out. 54% of a Barna research group have found that truth is only found through logic, human reasoning, and personal experience. Okay? Two of the worst things you can base your life experience or your life view on are personal experience and even worse, personal opinion. Okay? But that's what's going on. 6 out of 10 reject Satan and say that it's only a symbol of evil. That is what Satan is. 6 out of 10, which equates to 59%. And they embrace this. So it's very easy for what we talked about in the 9:30 for somebody like a Ron Bell to come in and write a book, a Rob Bell, and say that hell does exist. We've already conditioned people to accept that anyways. That's what they want to hear. But let's go into the public schools. Here's some things to keep in mind. The governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, in 2007, signed a bill, okay, that said that there will be no reference to man, woman, or one man, one woman, husband, wife, bride or groom, mom or dad. Can't even say mom or dad in the California textbooks as of 2007. Signed by the governor, okay? Other words that have been changed or reversed, Adam and Eve is now Eve and Adam, to show that Adam is not superior to Eve. Fellowship is considered sexist because it starts with the word fellow. They're really getting harsh out there, okay? Now, I'm not even talking about creation and evolution, and I'm not even talking about the inerrancy of the Bible, but you can imagine where they go with that. The word God, yes, the word God is considered too divisive and therefore has been removed from textbooks. The word God cannot exist in textbooks. Now, with those statistics and the idea that in the public schools these things are being removed, these ideas of placing the God description of one man, one woman, and all these other things that are going on, is that the reason that we have the high statistic of people leaving the church around the age of 15 or a little bit after? I would have to say no. I don't believe that that's the reason, although I do believe it has a huge impact on it. Here's what I believe to be the issue. I don't think that we have prepared our children and ourselves to defend our faith strong enough in the face of adversity. I don't think that we have prepared ourselves to be able to say that trusting in Jesus is an eyes wide open decision, lights on, and that it is rational and wise to do that. We accept that, but it's very hard for us to articulate as to why. And I think that's very important. I think we need to equip our kids to be able to do that. We need to be able to do it ourselves first. Now, we are not dependent upon the sciences for us to prove creation. We are not dependent upon mathematics to prove absolutes. Those of you that don't believe in absolutes, have somebody that doesn't believe in them prepare your taxes. Okay? See if you like the refund you get based on proximity. Okay? Absolutes in mathematics. Logical reasoning. Talking about scientific versus historical events and using the different methods to prove one over the other. They are not dependent on these things, but they fully support our belief in Jesus. They affirm what we believe as Christians, and we need to let our kids know that. We need to show them that truth is not because we believe it, but we believe it because it is true. That is our Christian foundation. They have to know that this is true, and here's why. We need to do that so that when they are challenged, when they get to the age group, that at any time, it starts, like I said, in the public schools at a very young age, to say with gentleness and respect, as it says in 1 Peter 3:15, why you believe what you believe. Because when you don't know what you're talking about, what do you tend to do? You don't show gentleness and respect, do you? You react the way that you are treated. But if you know that 2 plus 2 is 4, somebody tries to tell you 5, it doesn't make you angry. Because you know the truth. Scriptures, foundation, and a solid defense help the kids, the teachers, and the adults to be better Christ followers. More and better. So how do we make this happen? The vision that I have of making sure that our kids are getting solid defenses based on Scripture and being able to defend them is first, encourage and pray for the teachers daily. Keep them in your prayers. Keep the leaders in your prayers. Meet the needs of the kids to be challenged and grown in their faith. Disappointment is a wonderful means of gaining some maturity. Don't make everything easy for your kids at all times. It can make a false environment. There are times they will be challenged. Use that. Let's work together to make that happen. And lastly, like we were saying throughout everything we're saying today, Proverbs 16:13, I don't know if I had that up on one of my slides here, but I'd like to leave you with this. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. In 2012, let's commit to the Lord that children's ministry cross trainers will continue to grow better and more mature followers of Jesus Christ. Thank you very much.
Good morning again. All right, well, I'm sure you're all familiar with Indiana Jones and a series of movies that tell of his archaeological pursuits. Like, show of hands, who's seen at least one of the Indiana Jones movies? Almost everybody. The film itself, I think you'll agree, is an action-adventure ride. But did you know it turns out that real archaeologists battle about half as many Nazis as the Indiana Jones films led us to believe? So what if the mundane jobs around Stony Creek Church got the Indiana Jones treatment? I thought it would be fun to show you what some of them might look like if they got their own movie franchise. So let's take a look at the first job of washing windows. The movie might be called The Window Cleaner. One man risking it all so they can see the world that little bit better. Or how about The Proofreader? I think this is starring Jim Carrey. But really, I think that would be Kathy LeMay or Brenda Rose who helped me out with the programs. Proofreader, in the face of a deadline for perfection, one man must first conquer his own demons. Or how about Digits Bernstein and the calculations of the apocalypse? Think of our accounting team. And then last but not least, my most favorite, Mission Possible. Now here, can you see Nick Bishop being suspended by wires as he tries to make a plumbing repair to the apartment faucet? Well, those are kind of fun. But as I think about the business side of the church, I often wish that our mundane jobs around here would get the same recognition that Indiana Jones got as he searched for the Ark of the Covenant. Think of how many volunteers we would have on the maintenance team if they could rappel in to clean the windows like Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible. Or how many counters we would add to the county team if they were crunching numbers to determine when the end of the world would arrive. Well, I know we have some superstars leading the behind-the-scenes ministries here at Stony Creek Church, as well as all of the supporting actors on their teams. So sticking with this Hollywood theme, here's the role that you can play. I'm asking you to approach this new year borrowing one of Superman's powers by putting on your X-ray vision glasses and taking a step back and trying to envision the hands and feet behind the things that you often take for granted, like there being toilet paper in the restroom, or coffee and pastries after each service, or no fingerprints on the glass entry doors or along that nice glass wall right over there. I could go on, but I think you get the idea. So while you're wearing your X-ray vision glasses this year, take the time to pray for the people who tirelessly perform these jobs. You can show your appreciation with a simple thank you. And if able, consider joining one of these awesome teams. We currently have a huge need on our cleaning and maintenance team in that Lennox and Sherry Bowman are stepping down. And we need someone to rise up and take over the leadership of those teams. I know God will provide. And all of our ministries could always use a few more volunteers. But please join me in praying that God would provide the workers that we need. Thank you for your faithfulness and your support.
Well, thank you, pastoral team. I love these guys, and I love the work they do. And if you are looking for a ministry to plug into, and something that they do really seems suited to what you want to do, what you are gifted to do, please get with them and see how you can get plugged in and be in prayer for them, because they are working behind the scenes tirelessly, and they're doing the work of God to advance the kingdom here at Stony, God's kingdom. Here through Stony. Well, finally, I would like to share two things that I'm really passionate about here in 2012. Now, of course, I really am passionate about everything that's happening, but these are two kind of new things that are going to be introduced this year, and therefore I'm extra passionate about sharing these things with you. The first one is reducing our mortgage debt and saving for a new facility. Those of you who are members heard about this at our members' meeting. The Bible says in Romans 13:8, let no debt remain outstanding. It's one of those passages in Scripture that tells us we need to pay our bills. We need to be good stewards of the resources God has given to us. Well, even if 2012 was our last year here on earth, or the last year before Christ returns, this verse, Romans 13:8, would be reason enough for us to work hard to bring our debt down, because it's just something God told us to do. But if life goes on after 2012, there's even more reason to do so, such as, again, of course, just being good stewards of the resources and saving up for a new facility so that our ministry can continue to expand and improve and reach more people for Christ. We're especially cramped when it comes to our children's ministry and our youth ministry, and just in doing special events like say a reception after a wedding, or holding a big class rooms kind of a thing, where it's not really so much the best in an auditorium, but you'd need a nice classroom setting for that. It'd be nice if we had a fellowship hall, a large fellowship hall area, to hold banquets and special events and receptions. Perhaps some sort of a multi-purpose type room that could also serve as a gymnasium. Wouldn't that be great to have a place where the adults could play basketball and all kinds of things like that. Some churches in the area that you may be aware of have converted big shopping centers or movie theaters into beautiful facilities. And they look great, and they have a real multi-purpose kind of a service to them. And what's neat about them is that they're right there in the middle, usually, of where everything's happening. Not, you know, isolated in some residential community, but more kind of bringing the gospel into everyday life and the busyness and all that. I really love that kind of thing. Well, these are just a couple possibilities. If we're good stewards and we get on this, we could possibly sell this facility at a low price to an up-and-coming ministry, or perhaps even plant another church and move our church to some nearby facility and plant another church here or something like that. Who knows? There are many different possibilities. But the more we pay our debt down and the quicker we do that, the more options we have. Here's our basic plan, all right? Let's make a goal to together give an extra $24,000 in 2012 above and beyond our budget. We're just starting this year on this. Of course, we pay every month on our mortgage, but we're talking about $24,000 extra dollars paying down the principal. 80% of what would be given of this $24,000 or whatever comes in would be given toward paying down the mortgage. The remaining 20% of this portion would be put in a special savings account for land or a facility. And you would simply earmark your check for what you would like to give toward this plan. And so just do the math here. $24,000 is $2,000 per month. That's about an extra $460 per week, extra above and beyond what we're now getting in. If just 46 households were to give an extra $10 a week, this could be done. 10 extra dollars a week. That's just a couple of combos at McDonald's. This is very doable for our congregation. So what I'm asking you to do is to bathe this in prayer. And on Sunday, January 15th, 2 weeks from today, we will ask people to turn in pledges of how much you would be pledging to give this year toward this effort. We have pledge cards on the back table for that. So be in prayer about this. If you can't afford to do this and continue just your regular giving, then don't do it. Don't jeopardize your regular giving, your tithing, to do this. But if you can, please consider this and bathe it in prayer. The second thing that I'm passionate for Stony Creek Church about in 2012 is teaching through the books of Daniel and Revelation, the Bible books of Daniel and Revelation, in keeping with the idea that the world might end. Hey, these are... These are two of the most fascinating Bible books on biblical prophecy. Daniel is the Old Testament equivalent of the book of Revelation in the New Testament. And you need to understand the book of Daniel to really be able to unlock the meaning of the book of Revelation. And so I thought, well, why don't we go through them together? And Revelation is sort of the grand central station of the Bible where everything comes together and culminates. And so beginning soon, as soon as we finish up our foundation series at 9:30, at that service, at the 9:30 service, I'm going to start into Daniel, the book that unlocks the future, revealing the last world kingdom and the Antichrist and Christ's glorious coming. And then when we're done with Daniel, we'll go into the book of Revelation. Now, of course, I don't know if Christ will return in 2012, but I'm going to teach through these books so that in case he does, we'll be prepared, all right? And so if you like learning about the end times and digging deep into Scripture, getting into the nuts and bolts of it and rolling up your sleeves, 9:30 is the place to be on Sunday morning. Of course, here we'll continue our more seeker-friendly kind of service in which the gospel is given and you can bring your friends to come and hear the gospel message. Well, let's wrap it up. Just wrapping it up here, some of the themes that we've talked about. Live 2012 as though it could be your last year. Second, get into a daily Bible reading program. We've talked about this a little bit in recent weeks, and Mary mentioned that we have Chris's, that he put together, Bible reading plan for 2012. You could use that, or a one-year Bible, or some other thing. Just get into the Word every day. Make that a priority. Next, pray about making a pledge on January 15th, as I've said. Next, join and serve in a Stony Creek church ministry. If you're not already plugged in, get plugged in to a Stony Creek ministry so that you can use your gifts and your passion to serve Christ in 2012. Next, attend the 9:30 teaching service and a small group. And then finally, let's remember where we started this morning, Colossians 3:17. Why don't we stand together and let's read this verse together. Not simply as information, but as a prayer, as something we are saying to ourselves, to one another, and to God. All right? Let's read it together. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And God's people said, Amen. Let's pray together, and then our service will be concluded. And if you would like some prayer or counsel, spiritual guidance, as always, our pastoral prayer team is right up here on the right side of the platform. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for everything you have blessed us with. The year behind us, with all its trials and tribulations and blessings, thank you for bringing us through another year. Lord, as we look forward to this coming year, I pray that each one of us in this room would take seriously Colossians 3:17 to do whatever we do as representatives of the Lord Jesus. I pray, Father, that we would all get into the Word together and study your Word so that we could know it better and believe it more and obey it more. I pray that we would be reaching out to our lost friends and relatives, our neighbors and co-workers, to bring them the message, the life-saving, the eternal life-saving message of Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, and raised. And Father, I pray that as we give together, Lord, we would be able to bring down our debt and to save, if it be your will, for an even better and bigger facility than this one, so that we could do more for you, Lord. Lord, help us in every area of our lives to devote this year to you. Lord, I pray that this cleaning ministry leadership position would be filled. Lord, if it be your will, that it would be filled today by somebody who's competent and qualified to lead that ministry. It's a need, Father. Please, Father, please from this body raise up that person who would lead this ministry. And Father, we just give all our ministries to you. We thank you for Andy and the small groups, and Chris with youth and programming, and Corey with the children's ministry, and Mary with all the business office ministries that she leads, and everyone who participates. We give you ourselves, Father. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.